in the top five, Matt. Woo-wee! Bob Johnson here, Brick House.
Matt Baker here, also Brick House.
And we're ranking one of my favorite teams, number five or number four out west? Yeah, number four out west. The Houston Rockets. Man, they are good. They are really good. We were just talking about how this is probably their best team in 20 years. But before we get into that, I want to tell you why the Rockets are like Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, man. Bring it on.
They're really good, but outside of their, you know, fans, I think powers that be don't want to acknowledge that these guys are the best. You know, there's just something about them. It's not because they don't think they have talent, because they think they do. It's just there's something just off-putting about them, you know? The way they play basketball or the way they make movies. You know, Quentin Tarantino, it's like he's glorifying himself while mocking others who attempt to make movies in a conventional way. Sort of like the Rockets shooting more three-pointers than anybody else, attacking the line for free throws, doing only threes, free throws, and layups. They don't care how it looks. They don't care if it flaunts convention. But they figured this is the best way to play basketball, and that damn it, that's how we're going to do it.
I thought you were going to say they remind you of Tarantino movies because they always start playing in the third quarter and then somehow wind up back in the first quarter about halfway through the game. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I already said I'm a Rockets fan. I'm also a huge Quentin Tarantino fan. But if you just listen or watch Tarantino in an interview for more than a few minutes, you can understand why he would rub a lot of people the wrong way.
Can you watch Tarantino in an interview for more than a few minutes?
It's tough. You know who's been rubbing people the wrong way for about 3 years now, maybe more than any NBA player? Dwight Howard.
Oh, man.
Dwight Howard, you know. I think if we're going to make James Harden part of this Quentin Tarantino comparison, you would say he's the part of Tarantino that people love, right? They like, he's got style, he's got charisma.
He's got funk to him.
Yeah, he executes his craft to perfection. He knows how to carry himself. He's a cool guy. He's like the cool guy that Tarantino thinks he is or like wishes he could be. But Dwight Howard represents that part of Quentin Tarantino that you just want to punch in the face.
Yeah.
You know? It's not something that we can even necessarily articulate. I just don't like the guy. Oh, yeah. Some of the things, like, away from the court are really weird, make you think that these guys are weirdos. Dwight Howard, he really likes guns and snakes and collects them. And everything I've ever heard about Tarantino's off-the-court weirdness is mostly about a foot obsession and a propensity for just congratulating himself in public. We were talking about it with Bjorn, and he was saying that he might put a bet down for James Harden as the MVP. I really can't imagine James Harden winning the MVP. Sort of like I find it hard to imagine Quentin Tarantino winning Best Director or Best Picture unless, you know, either one of them just sort of had one of the best basketball seasons or made one of the greatest movies of all time that you just couldn't deny it, you know?
Right.
But otherwise, I just don't see the Academy giving Tarantino a movie that has like 100 N-words in it the Best Picture, or seeing James Harden, Khloe Kardashian's boyfriend,
yeah,
you know, getting on stage to represent the National Basketball League. But enough about that. We're going to tell you how we got to this point of having one of the best Rockets teams in decades.
Previously on the Houston Rockets.
All right, Bob, take it away. This is your team. Let us know how they got here.
You know, if we listed every like tiny little trade that Daryl Morey made in the past few years to get James Harden, Dwight Howard, and this whole roster together, it would probably take like an hour-long podcast just in and of itself. But what he did, to summarize, is buck the system that there's only two ways to win in the league.
Right.
One being to be really good and have a bunch of good players, maxed out contracts.
Yeah.
And try and win the championship that way, or to rebuild by tanking and just bottoming out and getting high lottery picks that you hope will develop into all-stars and superstars.
Mm-hmm.
They rebuilt without tanking. For years, it was similar to what your Suns are going through now. You know, the Rockets were just a team that would have 47 wins, 48 wins, and get ninth in the playoffs, you know? And for a long time, Daryl Morey was called the Billy Beane of basketball because he had these innovative ways of analyzing players. But, you know, for all of the articles and seminars that were centered around the guy,
yeah,
they weren't even making the playoffs.
Right.
I mean,
right.
McGrady and Yao Ming era was ended early by a lot of injuries to both of them. But at one point, before the James Harden trade, you were, as a Rockets fan, I was wondering if Daryl Morey was going to be out of a job and then have a hard time finding a job after that, you know?
Just because he was so shaking things up.
He was shaking
when you shake something up, if it doesn't work, no one wants to come back to you.
And, you know, some of the trades he made, too, like he got rid of Goran Dragic. He mm-hmm. got rid of Kyle Lowry. And they both went on to be all-stars after that. And, you know, people thought maybe he's you know, not his system just isn't working.
Right.
But anyways, it did work. He was shocked. I heard an interview to find out that James Harden was even available, and took the opportunity to get him.
Yeah.
He played better, I think, than Oklahoma or Houston could have expected. And then just a nice chain of events happened where Dwight Howard was really not interested in playing with Kobe or trying to live up to the heightened expectations of being a big man on the Lakers, and went to Houston. And previously, you know, when he was going to be a free agent the year before he decided to stay an extra year in Orlando, he said that Houston was not a team he was interested in.
Mm-hmm.
That was before they got Harden. So one domino fell, you know, by having Morey with all of these value contracts, just trying to trade, you know, something slightly for slightly more value, also became enough assets to trade for a guy like James Harden. Then just this past year, they went further in the playoffs than they have in years, all the way to the Western Conference Finals. I was even at Game 6 of the semis versus the Clippers when they came back from 19 points down in the fourth
right.
quarter. Crazy game. I had to text my friend back home in Texas who had already gone to bed thinking the Rockets season was over. And
get back in front of the television.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, the Clippers are another one of my favorite teams. It was tough, but I felt like I really couldn't lose. It was a crazy game to be at.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's how the Rockets came to be where they are. We'll tell you how or what players ended up being on the team from all these great trades by my hero Daryl Morey. But before that, let's briefly talk about the owner of the Houston Rockets. The owner is Leslie Alexander, and he's one of these owners who's not got a lot of stuff online. He seems to prefer having a private life, and more power to him for that. He bought the Rockets in 1993 at the age of 50 for $85 million and promptly won two NBA championships.
Don't downplay those four WNBA championships he won as owner of the Houston Comets.
That's right. That's right. What was her name? They had
Cheryl Swoops.
They had Cheryl Swoops, but she was pregnant the first year. It was actually Cynthia Cooper.
Cynthia Cooper,
who was the real star standout. But anyways, Alexander, he's been on the Forbes 400 Richest Americans list before. He was a huge investor in the student lender group First Marblehead, but that stock really tanked in 2008, and it's proven that the Rockets have been his best investment.
In
his lifetime.
I didn't know this, but in 98, he attempted to buy and relocate the Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a ballsy move. You got to be a ballsy American to go into Canada and try and buy and then relocate the Oilers, who in the 80s, I mean, the Oilers won four Stanley Cups. They had Gretzky, they had Mark Messier, they had all these players. Edmonton loves their Oilers. So to go in there and attempt to buy and relocate them, that's
That's like trying to buy the Mexico City soccer team.
Yeah,
move them to Wisconsin.
We're gonna go. We're gonna go into the UK. We're gonna buy Manchester United, and we're gonna go stick them in Sweden. Let's do that.
Or worse, Spain.
Yeah, but when you think about it, though, the guy had just come off of two NBA titles, two WNBA titles. What I do, I win titles in, so I'm just gonna go for it. You might as well.
Yeah, the only other stuff I really saw about him was he owns an exclusive wine club in Bridgehampton, New York.
Ooh.
Where it cost $50,000 to join before annual dues. And the Rockets are now worth $1.25 billion, and Leslie Alexander owns 100% of it. Otherwise, he was in the news for buying the most expensive condo in Manhattan a couple years ago for $42 million, and then 2 years later, it's on the market for $50 million, Matt.
Solid.
So I know you've been looking for a Manhattan, you know, place to crash.
Yeah, I just have all this money I just need to throw around. He's a supporter of the Democratic Party and has donated $15,000 in the past 20 years to Democratic candidates. Now, let me say this. You're worth $1 billion.
Yeah, you can't even get into dinner with George Clooney for $15,000.
Yeah, I haven't donated. Actually, that's the only time I've ever donated to a candidate was my buddy ran in a local election in Arizona, and he was a Democrat. So I have donated to Democratic Party. I am about as, in terms of my own personal wealth and his, I am just as big a supporter of the Democratic Party as he is.
Yeah.
I didn't donate much to my friend, but he is a billionaire who donated $15,000 over the span of two decades. So both Leslie Alexander and myself are equal supporters of the Democratic Party, me having donated once. But
that's,
I guess,
cool.
There is a cap on personal donations in politics.
Yeah, if you want to donate, if you're a billionaire, I have no problem giving all your money to charity rather than fucking politics.
I know, exactly. If you're going to give money away, give it to causes, not those candidates.
Well, let's talk about how deep these Rockets are. I think they got a pretty awesome team this year.
And now, the starting lineup for your Houston Rockets!
I think this offseason they had the best draft and one of the best, if not the best, trade.
Yeah.
There was. They stole Ty Lawson from the Nuggets. Now, granted, Ty Lawson has some personal issues he has to deal with as far as driving drunk, which is a very...
And they are teaming him up with a man who has been caught drunk in public more times than Ty Lawson got a DUI this summer in James Harden.
Okay.
So that's going to be
that might be trouble. But
road buddy.
You're right. But again, Morey went in there and got Ty Lawson for what, 50 cents on the dollar? If that.
Yeah.
It was a robbery. They also, their draft, they got Sam Decker. And then in the second round, they took Montrezl Harrell, who, by some accounts, could have gone over Sam Decker in the draft.
Two pretty good players.
Yeah.
My buddy, who's a Rockets fan, though, was asking how much playing time they're going to get, and I don't think much, although I think Harrell will next year when the Rockets inevitably lose Monte Yunus, Terrence Jones, or both of them.
Right, or you could trade Decker and Harrell for something else.
Right, sure.
Or you can trade Jones and Harrell for something, or Monte Yunus and Harrell for something. I mean, you don't really have much to upgrade, but they're all pieces that could be traded. He got KJ McDaniels last trade deadline from the 76ers, and McDaniels doing well, and McDaniels signed a 3-year $10 million deal. So he has a great deal in today's NBA. They are
on himself, yeah.
Yeah, they are absolute butchers at the free throw line, which is amazing. When they run out the every now and then Howard, Capella, Jones trio at the same time, I don't think they do that much because you don't want to. But they just go up there and they just throw it off the rim.
However, James Harden kind of makes up for it because he gets to the line more often than any player and shoots a very high percentage. He has a way of attracting fouls unlike any player in the league.
Is this this sounds ridiculous, but did he, at one point, was he shooting, he shot more free throws than some teams were?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, he shot 824 free throws last year.
His last game of the season versus the Warriors also had 13 turnovers, so I think a lot like Kevin Durant, I hope, as a Rockets fan, that he comes out with, again, something to prove this year, and that he hasn't gone soft with his $200 million Adidas contract.
Such a bummer of a way to end his year. But they, I guess that one dude put the curse on him, Lil B or whatever.
He stole his stir in the pot. So that signature move.
So that guy who has no power to curse anybody.
So the Rockets lost Josh Smith to free agency to the Clippers. But last year, despite making the Western Conference Finals, they didn't have a starting point guard in Patrick Beverley, who was injured.
Right.
Monta Ellis was also not playing. Had a great regular season. I think the reason that I say Jones and him will probably be gone is because in this
someone's going to pay a lot of money for Monta Ellis.
Both of those guys, I think, are going to be more than $12 million a year players. Trevor Ariza, solid player. I was afraid that he might have a tailing off after getting a new contract with the Rockets, but he played totally solid, and maybe that's because Corey Brewer also had a surprisingly awesome season for the Rockets compared to what he's done in the past, played a great role for helping them win, especially helping them win that Game 6 when he and Josh Smith combined for something like 30 points in the fourth quarter.
Right. Well, the good part about Dwight Howard can take comfort in is they may have lost Josh Smith, but they did sign Josh Smith, the Georgetown Josh Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Just,
AAU teammate as well?
Yeah. No, this Josh Smith was AAU teammate of Tony Roten.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be special in this regard, but I think they're definitely going to try and woo Kevin Durant. They want Zoe Deschanel on their team, too.
Might as well.
And as a Rockets fan and as a fan of the podcast Jalen and Jacoby.
Yeah.
Last year, or maybe a couple of years ago now, Jalen Rose predicted that Kevin Durant would end up on the Houston Rockets. That, you know, while he's really tight with Westbrook,
right,
he was more homies on and off the court with James Harden during their time together in Oklahoma City. And I think the presence of Harden, he seems like a fun-loving guy, to say the least.
Definitely.
And that, you know, he attracted one superstar there already. With the combination of Harden and Morey, you would think that they would be able to attract more. And, you know, as a fan, that would be the ultimate team. If they had Kevin Durant on this squad, I don't care who you give up as long as it's not Harden or Howard, and they're immediately the favorites to win the title, in my opinion.
Well, James Harden will always have a place in my heart, not just because he's the T-shirt I've worn to every one of these podcasts, but, I mean, he went to Arizona State, and he, the best player to ever play basketball at Arizona State.
Yeah.
He came in, they beat U of A. He played 2 years at ASU. They beat U of A five times in those 2 years.
Well, last year, let's get into the next segment.
Record prediction.
Last year, the Rockets snuck up on people and finished a lot better than most people were expecting. They finished second in the West at 56-26. Now, we've been doing these record predictions, and we have all these Western contenders all clustered together. But I just wanted to point out that it's pretty fair because last year, the Grizz and the Spurs both finished with 55 wins, and the Clippers and the Rockets both finished with 56.
Yeah.
So these are still the same four teams that we've got huddled together here, and then also throwing in the Thunder into the mix. They're all really good. They're going to beat the shit out of the shitty Eastern Conference teams and the Kings and so on, the Lakers. But so 56-27 last year. I got them with one more win this year. 57.
That's what
25.
I was
going to
say. Yeah, 57.
The thing that really scares me the most, the thing that scares me the most as a Rockets fan is the Kardashian girlfriend. James Harden started dating Khloe Kardashian. I heard someone call him James Hardashian
oh,
the
nice.
Other day.
Yeah.
And if you look at the track record for professional athletes that the Kardashians have dated, they have not done well.
Haven't done well at
after
all.
After that. James, I know you like big butts and all, but there's plenty of other women out there, dude. Please, focus on the season. Yeah. Don't let the Kardashians ruin your freaking life.
Yeah.
I would have given them the edge over the Clippers, who are my other favorite team, but that Kardashian X
that was
factor,
enough to swing it.
That's enough to swing it.
Amazing.
I gave them the fifth seed instead of the fourth seed. So we agree then, 57 wins for the Rockets this year. I think we're going to nail a couple of these exactly because we're just guessing the same number for like five teams.
Right. You just throw enough at the wall, something's going to stick.
But let's mention the basketball king, LBJ.
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
Twenty-five mentions of LeBron James at this point.
Not enough. Not enough.
You got to admit, I'm kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel for these LBJ stories.
No.
The well never runs dry because he's in the news all the time, every day. So to look for stories, sometimes I'll just Google, okay, LeBron James news.
Yeah.
LeBron James, Charlotte Bobcats.
Yeah,
you know, just
right.
To see what comes up.
Just to see how he works in with the other teams.
This one I was preparing, and it was the first time I just Googled LeBron James, nothing else. And there's all the normal stuff, his Facebook, Twitter page, the most recent ESPN article. But the eighth thing that comes up on Google is a Slate article from June 2014 titled, Why Delonte West is Not in the League.
Okay. So I think we know where this is going.
We're going to use this for the LeBron James mention.
Okay.
It's not going where you think it's going to go, because the article was pretty much about how it could be a prejudice against people with mental disabilities is the reason that Delonte West is not in the league.
Right.
And that's, you know, he gets made fun of a lot for the motorcycle, El Mariachi motorcycle ride he went on where he strapped a bunch of guns to himself, had guns in a guitar case.
I had forgotten about that, and that was great.
He got pulled over. And also there was a completely unsubstantiated rumor that the reason LeBron James melted down in the playoffs, his last playoff series against the Celtics, the first time he was on the Cavs, the reason he melted down was a completely unsubstantiated rumor that Delonte West was having a sexual relationship with LeBron's mom.
Yep.
But I don't think it's cool to make fun of that or to say that that's in any way true, because we don't know.
We don't.
But this article did have some Delonte West quotes in it that I thought were hilarious, and not mocking his possible mental condition. So let's see. This is some funny Delonte West quotes for the LeBron James section. In 2006, West gave a Valentine's Day interview in which he described his ideal date would consist of an evening featuring an all-white wardrobe, a yacht, and Popeye's chicken. A few years later, he was on Jim Rome's TV show.
Mm-hmm.
He was describing his rookie teammate's failure to get him 3 dozen hot Krispy Kreme donuts.
In my bag.
quote, trains, planes, and automobiles. West
have
tells
them donuts.
One of the rookies offering him some traveling options. You better have my donuts.
I listened to Jim Rome a lot around that time, and that I remember hearing that, and that was Rome got years of stuff off that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he also did a hot sauce in my bag, because he likes hot sauce. So he
Delonte?
So he did a song about hot sauce in my bag. Yeah.
Oh, man. So asked early in his career what West does in his spare time, he was a rookie. And when he was in college, he was really serious. He went to arts college, and he was really serious about painting.
Uh-huh.
So this is a quote. I like to paint murals of the ocean that I see beyond the horizon, because I feel if, in order for us to grow, we got to know. In order to love the brother man, you got to know the other man. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone, ding. End quote.
Whoa. Whoa, he said that when he went to St. Joe's for school?
This is when he was a rookie in the NBA. Oh. People were asking him what he likes to do in his spare time.
Oh, he went to arts. Jeez. So
one of the greatest NBA basketball quotes I had ever found, which is why we had to just make this the LeBron James section. Ding.
He ended that with ding.
He's like the Charlie Sheen of the NBA. It's awesome. Oh. Thank you, Delonte West.
And now it's time for a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
Yeah, for this personal anecdote, just, you know, let's, just for argument's sake, let's just say Daryl Morey is the smartest GM in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know I like to say that, so I'll say it again. So this question for Matt is, if you could take, have you seen the movie Limitless? You don't have to have seen it. It's, you know, are you aware?
It seems like one of those movies that I would have seen, but honestly, I don't think I have.
Yeah, you know, when I saw it when it came out, Bradley Cooper movie where he takes this drug that allows him to unlock, you know, every part of his brain that we're not using.
TV show now, too.
It's going to be a TV show now, too. When I was seeing it, I thought, like, you know, this is a movie that I've seen before. So, anyways, yeah, it's this drug that allows you to access these different parts of your mind. This one, in the movie, it's just like you access all your mind so you can do, you know, your full potential. Let's say that you had a choice of drug where you could know everything there is to know, but it's only about like a certain aspect or a certain part of life or a certain topic.
Right.
You would know everything about that.
Yeah.
Which one would you choose if you could take this fictional drug?
Honestly, and this might be a weird cop-out answer. I don't think it is, but I really enjoy podcasting and I like doing this and I like talking with people. I would really like to be able to be...
Oh, man. Yeah.
Top score and know everything about that. I think it's something I like. I mean, I could say I'd like to know, I guess I could say I'd like to know everything about sports and I could gamble on that.
Yeah,
but to me, yeah, but also, yes, but part of me, that book that reveals all the stuff has never appealed to me because I like watching sports and I like watching it unfold.
It would ruin the,
yeah,
the drama.
So I would, part of it, if I knew next year the Suns were going to win the championship, it wouldn't be as fun.
Right.
So, yeah, so I would like to...
So if you knew everything there was to know about podcasting, what do you think would happen?
Probably still be sitting here with you doing this podcast.
Awesome. But we would be like the most successful podcast in the world.
Yes.
And we'd be people listening to us in the... maybe translating us.
Yeah.
Into sign language podcasting?
Yeah, sign language podcasting. That's
it. You would have invented sign language podcasting.
Because I would know sign language.
You would know everything there is
about,
to know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could, you would probably, we could do versions of the podcast in Mandarin, you know, because
yes.
you would have to know Mandarin to know everything there is to know about podcasting.
You are right.
It would be ultimate communication. We'd have the guest. Who would be the first few guests, since you can have anyone you want? I mean, we're better than Marc Maron at this point.
Yeah, I guess it would be, for this podcast, it would be Bill Russell.
Oh, cool.
Jordan, he would love it. Barkley,
yeah.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
We could just make Barkley our third.
David Stern would want to come on here.
We got to find some of these drugs. We're in L.A. Maybe we can score this drug somewhere.
I don't think we'll have a hard time finding drugs, Bob. I think we could just walk outside and people will start handing it to us.
Maybe if we take enough of some like street drugs, we'll think Bill Russell's sitting next to us here.
There you go. That's the best. That is probably the best way to do that.
Next best thing.
On the next episode of Brick House.
So the sneak peek for the number four team in our final four breakdown. It's going to be sad when it's over. The sneak peek here. Cool story, bro. This team is the best lineup they've ever had in franchise history. They have a lineup that got ragged on a lot for bitching too much and just being a bunch of general punks last season.
Right.
Well, they just added three more punk bitches to their team and a legend who also likes to complain. So I'm excited to see them play in person, another clue, this upcoming season. Find out who makes our top four on the next episode of Brick House.
We'll be right back.